It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Right here on 830 WCCO on the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and I'm pleased to say hi to Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is back with us.
Good morning, Denny.
Morning. Nice to see you again.
And good to see you.
Kind of a nice morning, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's not snowing. It's not raining.
No, it's not really breezy that
it's
much
either.
It's not
below
right?
zero.
Not yet.
Life is good.
Life is good. And this show, speaking of good, is brought to us every week by our good friends at By the Yard, who make the best patio furniture in the whole world, made right here in Minnesota, down in Jordan, Minnesota. We'll talk about that great outdoor furniture coming up in a few minutes or so. But in the meantime, if you have a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, now is your chance. And if you're familiar with the show, we tend to get a little really busy with this particular topic. Lines are cleared if you want to use that to phone in your question for Teresa. That is 651-989-9226, or send a text. In fact, folks have been already doing that, Teresa, which is not unusual. That text number is 81807, 81807. Still kind of hard for me to believe that it's almost Thanksgiving.
I know. Just a few days.
And maybe, is it because of the weather?
I think so, because we haven't had a lot of snow.
Yeah.
It's been overcast, but that's kind of like, yeah. Not really November weather. Well, it is November. But
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Texter says this, if I can find it. Now, we planted heritage raspberries this past spring.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the time of year to prune them, and how far down should we cut them, if that's true?
Usually it's January and February when you do that. And I would go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and click on the garden tab, and they have a fantastic article on raspberries, how to prune them, what to do, how to space them, because you only want like 5 or 6 primal canes per plant, and you need to prune off the dead stuff. And remember, your raspberries are heavy feeders, so do give them some compost or fertilizer in the spring or fall.
That website you mentioned, and we like to mention that every show, is such a great resource.
It is.
There's
so much information, and they keep redoing it, and there's just more and more and more all the time.
Extension.umn.edu. Mm-hmm. We'll remind you of that from time to time.
And we're so fortunate, because the university has done so much research with agriculture and grapes and berries and blueberries and everything. They've just researched. It's amazing what information is out there from our university.
And as we learned over the years here in CCO, that you could talk lawns and gardens 52 weeks a year.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily, yeah.
You got to put, right now, we're thinking ahead. We're thinking of spring and summer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's another text, Teresa. If I can access dig in the ground, can I still plant bulbs yet?
Yes, and I know someone else who has a box of bulbs in her house waiting to be
not
planted.
To mention any, yeah.
Not to mention any names. Go ahead and do get them in, because they're not, it's harder. You can't really store them over winter. They're not going to make it through. Otherwise, you'd have to plant them and do the chill thing and try to force them. But if you can get them in the ground, get them in the ground.
There's a texter, and you're going to have to help me with this, who finds this nearly as obnoxious as Creeping Charlie. And this and garlic mustard. And this texter says, is it Lamium? Lamium?
Lamium.
Mm-hmm. Lamium has escaped from gardens and is showing in large patches here and there our wooded property.
Wow.
I want to warn others before purchasing that.
I wonder if it's Lamium or Lamiastrum. That one's usually a little more, but the Lamium short of the Lamiastrum.
What is that?
A little. It's a ground cover.
Okay.
And there's a pink and a white one that's usually a nice little ground cover under like pine trees and trees like that. It's a wonderful ground cover, but I haven't heard of that one escaping. But the Lamiastrum's a little taller and a little more aggressive. You do have to watch if you're gardening anywhere near a wild area. You want to make sure that your stuff isn't going to escape into the wild. So you want to really, really keep an eye on it.
I was thinking, we mentioned Thanksgiving, and I think for folks who will be visiting other folks, whether it be friends or relatives, sometimes they bring a host or hostess gift in the way of a plant.
Right.
What's a good idea for somebody who likes to fool around with plant, green thumb or not, but something relatively safe.
You know, if something's relatively, if you want like a house plant, you know, the Phalaenopsis orchids, the moth orchids are so easy to care for, and they last, the flowers last so long, and most of us can do them quite easily. You can also give them an amaryllis that's ready to be planted or ready to grow. And Christmas cactuses are nice too.
Okay.
And the poinsettia is more toward the holiday. Toward the
That's
December
true.
Holiday.
Right.
That one works too. So those are really nice house plants. You know, always remember if you're bringing a plant in, if there's children or animals in the house, try to get something that's not poisonous.
Good idea.
Just to be aware of it, you know.
All right.
Got to be careful.
If you have a question, you want to call it in, 651-989-9226. There's a line open if you want to use it. Or if it's easier to send a text, 81807, another text. Is it too late for planting tulips?
No.
There you go.
No, if you can dig the ground, you can definitely get your tulips.
I don't think generally it's frozen around here.
You know, some of it was frozen, but I think with all the weather, it's very mushy again.
And I'm looking at Monday's high, 49.
49, yep. Yeah. Yep. So get them in. You know, don't keep hoping, like somebody I know, that it's going to stay warm because winter is coming. I know winter will come. This is Minnesota. Winter will come.
Indeed. Texter says, we have and then we'll get back to the phones. We have a 25-plus foot pine tree that has a needle disease. As per university guidelines, we sprayed it 2 times. A few weeks ago, it started turning brown. Do you think it's dying? Hard to say.
It's hard to say without seeing it on site. If it's a real in big tree, a big part of your landscape, I would suggest bringing in a certified arborist to look at it. Otherwise, depending upon which needle disease it is, you may want to just take it out and start over.
651-989-9226. Mary Lou is calling from Crystal with a question. Thanks, Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Yes, good morning, guys. I have a question about my magnolia tree.
Yes.
It's about maybe close to 30 years old, mm-hmm. and it's been very, very nice. Mm-hmm. The leaves are still on the tree, and I know they're late droppers, but mm-hmm. these look dried up, and I'm kind of worried about it. Should I be?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't looked into this that much, to be honest with you. But I know a lot of the leaves have not senesced from my trees either. But they just like dried up on there. And I think it was just the weird weather. They didn't get enough cues that they should be dropping. So I don't think you have really that much to worry about. As long as the tree looked healthy during the summer, it's not covered with scale, it should be just fine. That's what I'm going with. Because all my apple trees and a lot of my maples did not drop. And now the leaves are coming off with the winds, but there might not have been enough wind to take it. It just didn't get the cues to senesce to close off those little vessels going from the leaf into the stem and to break off. It just didn't get those cues, I think. And so I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think it's just a one-time thing and just, this is an interesting fall look. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. That's
good
that's
luck.
Good news.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mary Lou.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Mary Lou leaves that line open. 651-989-9226. Texter says this, and I think about what our friend Julie would say. Mm-hmm. Do you cut hostas down in the fall?
Personally, I'm the laziest gardener you'll ever know, so I do as little work as possible out there. Lots of the hosta leaves for me just melt.
Yeah.
They just disintegrate, and I think of it as composting in place. There are some, though, that are big and mushy and yucky. So if you want to clean it up, go ahead and cut them in the fall once they're taken out by the frost. It's totally up to you what you want to do with that.
So it doesn't hurt anything just leaving them?
Doesn't really hurt, no. I mean, sometimes if you want to clean up in the spring, then you may have to clean up with icky stuff. But lots of my hostas just have leaves that just kind of melt and disintegrate and yeah.
Well, I'm taking you and Julie's advice, just if that's advice.
Yeah.
I usually mow them mm-hmm. when everything is all mm-hmm. pretty much gone.
Yep.
But that's kind of a bother on the mower. And I'm just going to this year experiment and just let it go.
Just let it go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Then look at it from inside the house.
Exactly.
All right. We have to take a break.
Okay.
We've got folks on the line. We have a few folks there and texters as well. If you want to call in, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on 830 WCC, brought to us by our good friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is helping us out in the studio today and helping you out. And I see one line is open if you want to ask Teresa your question via phone. 651-989-9226. Text, we got a bunch of those too, Teresa.
Excellent.
That's 81807. But let's go back to the phones.
Okay.
Jim in Richfield has been waiting. Good morning, Jim. What's going on there?
Hi, Jim.
Over the last year, the Asian beetles hit our neighborhood pretty hard, and the grubs destroyed quite a few lawns. Now, mine was spared. I kind of joke that it's not a monoculture because there's plenty of weeds. But I'm wondering, I've got one neighbor that has that started having the death of the grass around there, and there's no barrier between that and my yard. Previously, there's been driveways or streets between other yards and mine. I've heard there's a spore or something along those lines that you can distribute on your yard to stop it.
It's called milky spore, and they've shown that it doesn't work that good for our climate. It works better in Chicago in a little bit warmer climate. It's not as effective here in Minnesota, but milky spore would be a drench that you can put in the soil, and it does impact the grubs. I would suggest just watch your lawn and just wait till you actually see the grub infestation, the problem coming into your lawn. Try to keep your lawn as healthy as possible. And I love the idea that you're not growing a monoculture. You know, weeds are fun. That's an interesting thing. But just watch that and then wait until the grub population is there that you have to treat, because you don't really want to be treating it until you have a problem. So it's not something that you really should put down in advance. But milky spore is not super effective for us, unfortunately.
Okay. There you go, Jim. We'll get back to the text message in a moment, but Larry is calling from Mankato with a question. Go ahead, Larry. Thank you.
Hi, Larry.
Yes, a very good morning to you.
Morning.
I lost a number of trees, a combination of maples and pine a couple years ago due to flooding. I cut most of them down, but I still have the stumps. I was wondering, is there a way of removing the stumps without having to grind them? Is there a chemical? I know I saw in the store maybe a couple of years ago where there's a chemical or something you put on it.
There is. You have some options. You can just cut them off at ground level and just let them naturally decay. Just understand it's hard. You can't really plant right over that because the wood is there. There are some products on the market that will take out the stump, and you drill holes in and then you pour the stuff in. And I'm not sure if it's like a kerosene or what it is, but if you decide to go that way, it's a stump remover, and just read and follow and understand the instructions very carefully. Now, if you live in a floodplain, definitely look into the university floodplain trees, and those are trees that can handle the some of the floods. I mean, they won't handle if they get hit by another tree and they're broken, but they can handle being inundated with the water, and things like elm and things like that are good floodplain trees and something to look into if you're in that area.
Very good, Larry.
Good
luck.
There
you go. 651-989-9226 or send a text, and we'll get to those now. 81807. Nico Blue Hydrangea, if I cut back now, does that decrease the flowers I'll get next year? Mine is near the front walkway where snow gets shoveled or blown on.
Yep, the Nico Blue is an old-fashioned hydrangea that puts its buds on old wood, so it only blooms on what wood you saw this year. So anything you cut off, it's just like a lilac, you're cutting off the flowers for next year. So if you want to get flowers next year, you're going to have to really mulch that baby really well, because those buds aren't super hardy for Minnesota.
Texter says, and I think so, do we have time to mow the lawn one more time this season?
Yes. Denny said he just did mow the
Thursday
lawn.
Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
More to pick up because it's a slow growing now, if at all, but it's picking up the leaves.
Get the leaves off. You know, you put your mulcher mower out there and get those leaves mulched in or bag, whatever you decide to do with your. But, make sure you get those leaves off.
I think I'll do that again maybe Monday. Mm-hmm. Monday, 49 degrees.
Nice.
Sunny. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's see. Just for the fun of it, I think I'll just get outside. Texas says we have approximately 15 fairly large apple trees that need to be cut down. So anything, at the wood, I'm not sure what they're meaning here. Well, I think it's. I don't think they they finished with their typing. So we'll wait and see if they do. So okay. if you're the texter that talked about 15 fairly large apple trees, check your typing and send us another text. Can I use, another texter says, Roundup on Creeping Charlie now, since the ground's not frozen?
You need the Roundup or the glyphosate does need to be on actively growing plants. It has to be applied at a certain temperature, and I don't think we're going to meet those temperature requirements. So read the label. It will tell you how warm or cool it can be. So I'm guessing no, but I haven't read the label. I would read the temperatures.
Okay. How far, if you know this now, how far has oak wilt spread in the state? Is it out of control? Have you heard any stories about that?
I think we've had some here in the cities, but other than that, I honestly don't know how far it's spread. You may want to look at my Northern Woods, I think it is, or just Google oak wilt in Minnesota, and that'll get you there. I'm not sure if the extension site on the garden tab will have it on.
You could check both, though.
I would check both. I would definitely check both, but I honestly don't know. I'm sorry.
All right, Teresa, hang on. We'll take our usual break. We have another half hour of the show to go, so if you miss getting in to ask Teresa your question, you still have a chance by phone or by text. Here's the number, 651-989-9226. If you'd rather, send us a text at 81807. Mostly cloudy, 32 degrees here on 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at Buy the Yard Outdoor Furniture. We'll talk about that in a moment. If you're just joining us, thanks for doing so. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us helping you out today by phone or by text. And there is one line open, 651-989-9226. And we'll get back to the text screen in a moment too, Teresa, 81807. But Ruth in River Falls has a question, I believe. Good morning, Ruth.
Morning, Ruth.
Good morning. Good morning. I listen every week, and I've been going to call on this question. Actually, I have two questions.
Okay.
I call it a burning bush.
Yep, mm-hmm. The euonymus.
And it's the one with the square stem.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And people all around town have had these bright red, deep, actually, red leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And mine is still green with just a few. It looks like it's been painted with watercolor. It's that kind of faded look on the red.
Yeah, mine does that too. It just, I think it's not getting enough sun, or there's just something with it. It never was as beautiful as it should have been, and I think some just run that way. Has it always been like that? Or
yes.
Okay. I think it's just some just don't have the good coloration that just something in their genes. So. You know,
I do have a lot of maples around, so maybe it's getting too much shade.
It might be getting not enough sun, to change it. And then if it does get enough sun and it's just never produced good color, it just doesn't have good color.
Oh, well, thank you on that
you
one. And my second question is, I had some mum plants that I left sitting on my front steps.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the weather got cold on me, and I meant to put them in the ground because they were called hardy mums.
Mm-hmm.
Have those roots, do you think, frozen on the steps? Or
I'd give it a shot if you can get them in the ground. Planting the mums in the fall is not the best time. They really should go in the spring. Mums are just kind of weird for us here in Minnesota. But, give them a shot. Throw them in the ground. If you don't know where you wanted to put them, at least sink the pots into the ground, and they'll stand a better chance getting in the ground and making it through winter than staying above ground. And if nothing happens, then they can head to the compost bin, but you would have at least tried.
Yeah. There you go, Ruth. Thank you.
Good luck.
A texter says this June, we planted 9 new rutabagas. They all blossomed to full splendor, but just after that, some of the leaves turned brown with some sort of fungus or bug.
Yep.
I like to leave the seed heads on for winter interest, but this makes cleaning out the leaves almost impossible. Is leaving these leaves okay? Also, should I mulch them after the ground freezes or before? Please give me some care tips. Love your show.
Oh, okay, good. The Rudbeckia does tend to get powdery mildew, and it does get some yucky stuff on it. It just is what they do. So and they get some diseases. it's not going to kill the plant. If you want to leave the seed heads up, go ahead. Clean up really well in the spring, though. And any plants you did plant this year, I would give them a winter mulch the first year. The next year, you won't have to. They will be very well established. But anything that was just planted this year, I'd just baby it just a little bit. Go ahead, leave those seed heads up. But do clean up everything in the spring to try to get rid of some of the spores and some of the diseases. And make sure that there's a lot of good air circulation and good sun, and that will lessen some of the funguses that you're seeing on it. And if you run into it all the time, you may have to do a fungal spray, an antifungal spray, before you start to see it in future years.
A texter wants to know, what might be some good low-light houseplants? Any ideas?
Yep. Sure. There's a lot of them. There's the cast iron plant, a Chinese evergreen, is really good. The pothos is really good. Peace lilies are good. If you have a moderate amount of light, even the lamp, some of your African violets can be really good. But I would definitely go to the extension.umn.edu site, click on the garden tab, and there's a lot of great ideas for low light house plants.
Good. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Debbie is calling from Roseville. Good morning, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Good morning. We have a question about trimming back some branches on a bur oak tree. We'd like to do it next week, but we want to make sure it's a safe time to do it and won't cause any oak wilt.
Oh, you know, I really wouldn't trim the oaks and the elms and the ashes and even some of your apple trees, you know, until January, February. So there's absolutely no chance of disease and insects out there. It's still a little warm. I mean, I saw a mosquito the other night, you know, and it was like 30 degrees and that little baby was still out there looking for me. So I would try, if you have to trim it and immediately put a pruner sealer on the cut, you know, before 15 minutes even pass. So you would trim, put a pruner sealer on, clean your pruners, trim, put a pruner sealer on, clean your pruners. And that's how I would handle it if you have to do it.
You really have
time.
To do it. Yeah. Otherwise, wait. Thanks,
Otherwise,
Debbie.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerry in St. Paul is next on the phone. Good morning, Jerry. What can we do for you?
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good morning. Teresa, I have a question for you about a pine tree next to my house. It's only about 8 feet away. It's a pine tree that's got to be 50 feet high, and it's got the short needles, and probably 30 years old. Mm-hmm. But the roots, part of the root flare, of course, is heading right at the house, and it's at the corner of the house, and in the basement that one room is paneled, so I can't see if the structure is getting any damage from the root system.
Yep. You know, I wouldn't worry about the roots damaging the structure of your house, the foundation. Roots, when they grow, if they hit something like a concrete, they're going to go sideways. So it'll start wrapping around your house, sort of like if a pot was root bound. It doesn't go through the side of the pot. It just wraps around inside. So that's what your roots are going to do. Now, if there's damage already done to the foundation, if there's a crack and there's water, the roots can get into the cracks. And as the root expands, it will make the crack bigger. But if your foundation is steady and not damaged and there's not water in your foundation, you should be fine. It should be just fine. I would say it's been there for a long time and you haven't had problems. I would just leave it alone and it should be just fine. Good luck.
Teresa and I were laughing because sometimes when the texter sends in messages, it's the autocorrect,
the spell
check,
spelling,
whatever it is,
and
it becomes
it
really
creative.
Confusing. Very creative. But I'll give you the translation because the texter did send a correction. Here's the question. In the fall, should you cut back our way down height ranchos? We have those big ones with big white round dead flowers. And then the correction was, I meant to say, the question is, in the fall, should we cut back hydrangeas? The ones with the big white round flowers.
I love spell check.
Way down height ranchos.
Those height ranchos, yeah. Go ahead. I would not cut your height ranchos down. Leave the hydrangeas up. Leave everything up. If you can, it'll give you some winter interest. Clean it back in the spring if you want. But I wouldn't do any pruning now. If you really want to get everything cleaned up, wait till the ground has frozen solid, and then you can go ahead and cut those shrubs back. But otherwise, I would leave them up till spring.
Speaking of hydrangeas, I think Deb in Apple Valley has a question about that. Hi, Deb. Good morning.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. I'm actually the one who texted them.
with the ranchos? Cool. How's your ranchos doing?
I had to laugh. I thought, oh, my gosh.
Hey, but we figured it out before you even sent your other text, so that was cool.
Did you? Okay, yeah. Good. And you just answered the question I had. It was about these big, round, white hydrangeas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They look kind of nice next to the house.
Oh, they do. That's wonderful winter interest. And if you want to take some of those heads off, you can even bring them in once they dry it, and you can spray them and use them in your decorating for the holidays.
Yep.
They're just beautiful, the hydrangeas are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Good. Well, that's okay. Otherwise, I'll just leave them as is till spring. And then when you cut them back in the spring... Mm-hmm. Just a tiny bit?
You can cut them all the way to the ground, or you can cut them back to where they're sprouting again. They won't bloom on those stems, but those stems that you only cut back halfway will sort of act as a little fence and hold them up so that maybe they won't flop as much with the heavy rains.
Yeah, okay. And then is it, what time in the spring? Is it after the...
Once they start coming out of dormancy, you can cut them. You know, but if you know you're going to cut them all the way back, just whenever you get out there in the spring, it's no big deal.
Very good, Deb.
And thanks for the laugh. That was great.
Yes, we needed that. Yes. Makes me think about huevos rancheros for breakfast.
It did. And I haven't had breakfast yet.
I tell you what, we're getting a little signal. We need to take a quick break.
Okay.
Mike, you're going to be next on the phone. Texters, we'll grab some more of your text messages here on our Smart Garden Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us once again. Teresa, let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. Mike is calling from West St. Paul. Mike, you're on with Teresa.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. This spring I was given about 30 strawberry plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they've grown really well, and now I've covered them with 3 or 4 inches of leaves. Is that a good way to overwinter them?
Straw probably would be a little bit better, but if they've got the leaves on, they've got the leaves. It's a little too early. Did you cut them back first?
No.
Okay. Next year, what you'll want to do is you want to cut them back after the frost hits them, and then do cover them maybe with about 6 or 8 inches of straw once the ground freezes. The crowns aren't super hardy. They're good, but they're not that hardy, so it's nice to give them a little winter protection and then pull that mulch off in the spring so they can grow. I would suggest going to the extension.umn.edu site, and that will also tell you then with the mother plants and the daughter plants, the runners, how to divide those and clean them up so you have a real productive planting bed all the time. But enjoy your strawberries.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
Let's see if we can tackle some of these text messages. A serviceberry tree we planted in the fall of 2015 still has leaves on it.
Yep.
Curious why they didn't fall off, and they also did not achieve their typical reddish-orange color. What do you think that is?
You know, it was just a weird fall, and a lot of trees didn't lose their leaves, and I did see some weird colors. Some plants had fabulous color, and some of them, my apricots didn't do well with coloring either, and I'm not quite sure why. I think just a weird weather.
It was the weather.
Just the weather, and enjoy it as an anomaly, whatever. I haven't had my breakfast or my coffee yet.
Well, I will
my
let you
brain
do that.
Knows what it wants to say. My mouth doesn't. You think of it as something unique and interesting.
Okay. Good morning. Texter says, I have a crabapple tree that's about 10 feet tall, and a deer scraped the bark off for about 4-foot section at the bottom, almost all the way around. It does not appear to hurt the inner part, but most of the outer bark is gone. What can I do, or do nothing?
You know, the only thing I would do is get a hardware cloth, make a cylinder of hardware cloth all the way up to the first branch of that tree to protect it from more. And maybe it was just if they girdle it, the tree's going to die, and it may leaf out in the spring and then not do anything. Otherwise, they may have just rubbed off a little bit of the bark, and it will be okay. But yeah, with the deer and the, you know, rubbing for their antlers to get the velvet off, you've got to watch that. And then they'll eat the bark too. So all your fruit trees, all your newly planted trees, just protect them with a cylinder of hardware cloth.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. And you can leave that on all year until the tree gets rough bark or until the tree is almost touching the hardware cloth.
Texter says this, good morning. Yeah, we have 15 fairly large apple trees that we need to cut down. Is there anything in particular that the apple wood is good for?
Sure. Lots of people use apple wood chips in when they're on their grills.
Yeah.
So you could do that. Use that. Chip them up. You know, they'll make good wood chips in your yard. If you know any woodworkers, they may like the apple wood for the wood.
Yeah,
because it's a nice
smoking
wood.
Yeah.
It's a good wood for carpenters and things.
Yeah,
woodworkers.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
Is it too late? Texter says to dig up my dahlias.
No, you got to get them out of the ground. Well, if you don't care, let them die. But otherwise, no, it's not too late. The ground hasn't frozen. Dig up your dahlias.
I know we get this question, especially as of late. Is it too late to overseed my lawn? That came from Dan. But I guess your next choice really is some dormant seeding.
Yeah,
right?
I would do dormant seeding. Maybe wait until the ground just starts to freeze up a little bit and then put the seed down or just before the first snow. Again, make sure you have really good seed-to-soil contact. So press the seed into the soil, walk on it, do a roller or something like that.
Mm-hmm. The texter says, can I put my wet, non-bagged leaves on my garden now?
It depends on what kind of garden. If it's a veggie garden, sure. If it's your other garden, I'd probably wait until the ground starts to freeze.
All right, let's see. How can I control... Oh, boy. I think this is another...
another creative.
Datura?
Oh, Datura. Oh, yeah.
How can I control Datura that keeps self-seeding a larger area every year?
Yeah. What I would do is whatever you do have growing out there, deadhead it as soon as it finishes blooming. It's a angel's trumpet. It's a vine. It has big white flowers, but it can self-seed. The seed balls are reminiscent of something, but it can self-seed very readily and it can be aggressive. So, if it's in an area where you don't want other seedlings, you can use some of those pre-emergence, like preen or something like that. That will stop those seeds from sprouting in the spring. But any that do sprout, that you do let flower, deadhead the flowers as soon as they go past so that they don't produce more seed.
The texter says, I've already cut down some hydrangeas for the year. Will they die, you think?
Probably not. You know, if they're old and well-established, they're not going to. It's too late now anyway, but I don't think they'll die. It's just not the best way to handle it.
Another texter corrected. We had a rose of Sharon.
Yes.
A bush in Montana. Can I grow one here?
They're kind of not that. They're more zone 5. We're zone 4. Some areas are protected. You can give it a shot. Don't be surprised, though, if it only lasts a few years or gets hit by the winter, if we get a regular winter.
Can I put winterizer on now? Is it a little
too late
for that?
It's too late, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Do golden euonymus. Can it be covered with straw? Last year, all upper branches froze.
You could go ahead and cover it with straw again. I'd probably wait till the ground freezes a little more, just build a cylinder, and then fill up the cylinder with straw to protect it. Mm-hmm.
Another lawn question. Can I spray Roundup on the quack grass growing under my rose bushes without hurting the rose bushes?
Well, it depends. It's too late probably in the season to use Roundup. It's too cold. Read the instructions. If I'm wrong with the temperature, just follow the instructions. Otherwise, what you would want to do is make sure you're only spraying on the leaves of the plant you want to kill, and you're not getting any on the rose. So you may want to do some wrapping of the rose or protection or box up the plant you want to kill. Put like a little cardboard cylinder around it and spray carefully in the cylinder or paint the leaves. But again, I think it's too cold now to use the glyphosate.
Here's a question we've never had before. Will my invisible fencing help in keeping the moles and voles out if I leave it on 24/7? Don't the moles and voles have to have a collar?
They would have to have a collar. And if you were able to collar those guys, you'd probably just take them to another home somewhere.
Yeah.
No, it's a great idea, but I don't think that what the radio signal will bother the moles and voles that much. Not only do they not have collar, but I just don't think they'll care about the signal. I think they'll just ignore it as they ignore so much of us humans.
That's right. And I found out, too, in the neighborhood. That those moles, I thought for sure this time of year, they'd be quiet.
No,
but
no,
it's
no.
Evidently, again, like goes back to the weather, it's been moderately warm.
It's moderate. The grubs are still active. The moles are still active. Yeah, it's kind of frustrating.
All right. Now, what are you going to be doing now with the rest of this season as far as your own personal guy? I know you're not going to mess with your hosta leaves.
Right. I'm not messing with the hosta
leaves. We've discovered that.
I do need to get my bulbs planted, and I have a poor comfrey plant that's been sitting in a pot above ground. So I really should get that poor baby in and not expect her to live above ground again this winter. But that's always, you know, that's, and then.
Well, you should have good weather to do it.
Should have
for
good weather to
here.
Do it. I've got to clean up the chicken coop and then just get the leaves off of the sidewalk. That's
housework is never done, is it?
Yard work, housework, it's just continual.
I know we're almost out of time, but I'm thinking of folks who have yet to discover or check out the university website.
Right.
There's so many. You could spend days just learning all sorts of stuff.
You could. Extension.umn.edu. And I know there'll be at least one master gardener, me, at the Green Gifts Fair today over at Midtown Global Market. So I'll be there all day answering gardening questions if you want to stop by.
Now tell folks where that's located.
That's at the Midtown Global Market on Lake Street, the old Sears building.
Yeah,
we
know
where that is. It's fantastic. Oh, they have great restaurants in there.
They do. Oh, really, so good many stuff. Of them.
Really good gifts and reusing. But I'm going to be there answering gardening questions.
From what time?
From as soon as I leave here until 5 o'clock.
Until 5 o'clock this
afternoon.
As soon
as I can get over there.
All right. Get some help from Teresa there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your help today.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everyone.
You as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very
too.
Much. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on 830 WCCO.